hello once again, and welcome to the longest-running episodic comic book-related podcast on the whole entire interwebs, Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the interwebs,
the very best at what he does each and every day of his life,
is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing tonight, Joe?
You may be charming and delightful, but I ain't sitting in your lap.
Well, neither's my cat. It's been a quiet day here at the old Solitaire Rose Mansion, as I like to call it. We're recording this on Columbus Day in the middle of a Vikings-Jets game. And I got to be honest, I have no idea what the hell's going on in the game.
Well, I can tell you, based on the first half, I turned it off and let my daughter watch Mad off the Cartoon Network. Although, I guess they're finally kicking their ass a little bit, so we'll see. I think the Vikings play better when I don't watch, so I'm going with that theory.
Joe, what are you eating?
Oh, my wife made some homemade peanut butter cookies. Awesome stuff.
So you've never heard the rule that you don't talk when you're on the air?
Well, unless you're making a podcast for deaf people, then, of course, you don't have to talk at all.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. The first appearance by the Crazy Comics and Stories Crickets.
You know, I am gonna have, tell you what, we'll wait till we name the crickets, and then I'm going to bring in something that we're going to possibly supplant the crickets with, but that's in the future.
That's in the future. Let's talk about right now.
Hey, wait a minute. I got words on my popsicle stick. Why did the cat want to become a nurse? It wanted to be a first aid kit. Ooh, even I don't like that one. Crank the crickets.
Second appearance by the crickets here. We've got some names people have sent in, Joe.
Oh, yeah?
We've got a phone call where we'll be discussing some of the names, but one of the names sent to me was the Jiminy Singers.
I hope you inserted the crickets.
So you don't like that one.
I think the crickets should get to decide myself.
Well, we'll ask, and whatever they like best, that'll be the person who wins the prize. The other name that I have here in the email hopper, the crickets are Larry, Mo, Curly, Shemp, and Curly Joe. It doesn't sound like they like those.
No.
Oh, okay. And here's...
I'll have to do a little breeding to catch up.
And the last one, this one's a little obscure, but it's my favorite. Morris, Jerome, Jellybean, Monty, Jimmy, Terry, and Jesse. Those were the members of the Time.
Yes.
Famous funk band here in Minneapolis in the 80s.
I think I'm going for another cookie.
Okay. Well, let's dive right into the show here. We're diving right in. Joe, you sent me a link about one of the artists who's been here.
Hey, I told you. Oh, the artist. Oh, yeah. So I thought you were talking about the other link.
No,
Never mind.
We don't discuss those links on the air if we want to stay out of prison.
That's true.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce what's going on with Steve Rude?
Well, if you love Steve Rude the Dude, and wanted to own his artwork someday, you can do it now. He's raising cash to keep his family in their home. And apparently if he doesn't get the cash, the bank forecloses. He's selling whole issues worth of Nexus pages. He's opened up his sketchbook. And I'm trying to get the link here. So if you're looking to buy some stuff, he's doing a lot of stuff right on eBay, and it's under the handle Steve, that lowercase dash Rude underscore, I guess. Steve under Rude Dude. And he's got a MySpace or a Me About Me on eBay. Right now, he's got about 39 things going. There's Steve Rude Artist in Motion Fine Art Book. For $50, he's got a couple sketchbook combo deals.
Another way you can get to this is just go to Steve Rude. Let's see. I want to get it right. SteveRude.com/auctions. Takes you right to the page.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple things I want to bring up about this. First is, when Steve Rude brought back Nexus, he was doing it out of his own pocket. Because Nexus, while it did well in the 80s, once first went away, and then it went to Dark Horse, it didn't do as well. That's why the last few issues were in black and white. So many people asked for the end of the story. They wanted, you know, they wanted the end of the Nexus story. He decided that he would go ahead and self-publish it. Sales on it were so low that he published the last two issues at a loss, which is a damn shame. It's one of the greatest comics ever printed. Dark Horse is going to be doing the Nexus archives as soft covers.
Nice, so, nice.
If you've looked at those Nexus archives and said, boy, I'd like to have them, but $50 is too much, they're starting around the end of this year. They're going to do them as soft covers, and I think they're either $24.99 or $29.99. Sign up for them. Get them. It's one of the greatest books ever printed. And I don't want to get political on this, but the more I read about the housing market and how these mortgages were put together and the dirty tricks that were played to put them together and everything, somebody needs to go to jail, Joe, because the stuff they did is against, you know, even if it's legal, it's not ethical. You know, locking people in, chopping up their mortgages, doing all this stuff, and nobody actually holds the mortgage paper. I don't know the details of what is going on with Steve Root, but I'm very irritated whenever I see this news, so I just avoid it. But this is somebody you can help. If you've been reading about all these foreclosures and all these mortgages falling apart and everything, and the more you read about how slimy it was for the last 20 years, this is a guy you can help. And you don't even have to have a lot of money.
I think his black and white photo is, if you wanted just a black and white sketch, that's kind of what I'm aiming at, $150. I think he colorizes it for up to $200. He'll actually go all the way for a fully painted sketch. It goes up accordingly. And Steve Rude does some gorgeous work with various colors. So if you got some serious cash, you know, up to $2,000, you could get yourself a museum quality print almost done by Steve.
But let's say you don't have that much money. He's selling off the Nexus trade paperbacks at cover price. It's SteveRude.com/auctions.
And on eBay.
Takes you like right you said, to his eBay site.
Steve_Rude. And I'm just looking. I mean, the cheapest thing he's got going, $4.99. He's got a couple 99-cent stuff. It's just, I mean, some really nice stuff.
Go out of your way and help this guy. He's an amazing, amazing artist. He dropped out of comics after the last two issues of Nexus because he just realized he couldn't make money doing comics anymore. He's now moved into fine art, and if you go to his website, you'll see some of it. But I implore all of you to just go there. And let's say you don't know anything about Nexus. Never read it. You've only heard things. Right there, Nexus Origin Remastered, drawn by Steve Rude. He'll sign it and personalize it, $4.99. Boom, right there. Then you'll get hooked and you'll probably buy the rest of the series.
And if you don't really, you know, Steve Rude's not your thing, and you don't have the means to help him out, you can go to the official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page and check out the 150 pictures of the ladies at Dragon Con 2010.
That's on the Facebook page, Joe.
Yep. I'm there to take care of you guys.
And if you want to send some money to them.
Well, you're on your own.
Yes. We're not helping with that.
No.
Breaking news.
We didn't break nothing.
You didn't break anything. But this weekend...
I did break that popsicle stick. That was a terrible joke.
Yes, and the crickets are offended by it.
They're just scared of cats.
Well, they should be. My cat will eat them. That's why we lock the cat up while we're doing the podcast. Joe, are you ready for some good news out of New York?
Sure.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, are the Vikings winning?
I have no idea, but this is big news. This news might knock you down.
All right, I am sitting down. I've got my captain seat, red alert chair hooked in.
Marvel and DC have both announced that they are going back to a $2.99 price tag on their books.
Oh, my aching wallet.
That's right. Now, the reason they gave was, you know, the $2.99 price, people have been asking for it, and they want to give the consumer, you know, value for their money, and on and on and on and on. I think it has a hell of a lot more to do with what we were talking about a few episodes ago when we went over the sales figures. I think they looked at the sales figures, kind of did an, oh my God, sales are dropping like a rock.
Hey, and you know what else is working? I stopped watching the Vikes and they got a pair of touchdown strikes. Things are coming together. Things are coming Curry's way. Comics prices are going down and the Vikings have touched down twice.
Serendipity, baby.
Serendipity. I got to watch it.
But I think, you know, they looked at the sales figures and sales figures, from what I hear, for the month after the one we talked about, are even worse.
Ooh.
And when they come out, we'll probably be discussing that. Not in as much detail, but we'll be discussing it. And DC has said it's part of their restructuring. Marvel said, oh, this was in the works long before DC announced it. I think it's they looked at the sales figures, went, holy crap, we're hemorrhaging readers. Oh, and yeah. They're going to try it. One weird little note I want to bring up. I think this is the first time ever that I can remember that comic prices have gone down.
On something that matters.
No, I mean on comics.
No, I mean, you know, we talked about how they did the Malibu thing. Oh, everything's $1.50. Who cares? And, you know, there was a thing where DC did the 100-page giants and they went back for a little bit. Very little.
Well, I know that Jim Shooter, when the Valiant books went up to $2.25, he said in an editorial that, you know, our sales figures are going up, and if they continue to go up, we'll be able to drop our prices back to $1.95, you know, within the next 3 to 4 months. Of course, he was fired the next month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but after 3-4 months, Valiant's prices went up to $2.50, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Because it was, wow, they announced they're dropping prices, and instead they go up. One other little odd fact I want to throw in. Diamond weighed in on this and said that they were happy about, you know, the blah, blah, blah. But they said that they were concerned about the number of variant covers. And they said that either 1/3 or 1/4 of all the comics solicited in for December were variant covers.
So what they're saying is a lot of the market's being propped up probably by retailers buying variants just to either sell them at an inflated price or just, you know. So in other words, you're not really selling 100,000 copies of, you know, X book of the month. You're probably selling 1/3 of that because the only reason you're selling as many as that is guys want the variants.
Well, I remember the Red Sonja series, when it started at, what was it, Dynamic Entertainment?
I believe so.
It had all those variant covers, and you had to order so many to get one of the variants. Yeah. And I remember you did okay with it, but I remember going to comic shops, and they had like 20, 30 copies of each issue in their quarter bin. Because, well, you know, the first, like 12 issues, you got, if you order 50 copies, you get this special whatever cover. Mm-hmm. So they were selling 20, then selling the variant for a big amount of money, and then get the other 30 would just sit in the quarter bin forever.
Yeah. And there was that one time, I think it was it issue 13, where they didn't have a variant? And I think we only ordered like 10 copies.
Yeah, because you know, jumped on that bandwagon too.
Well, I had guys, my old partner Pat was one of them, who wanted the super rare negative art, sketch, naked, nude, whatever variant. Bacon he was willing dude. To pay. He was willing to pay me, you know, X amount of dollars for the books in order to get the variant. And so I made a deal with him. I said, tell you what, why don't you just pay me the cost for the books and then, you know, whatever for the variant. And you're talking, it was like he had to buy like 100 copies of Red Sonja 12 or something just to get that one variant. It was a variant I wasn't even going to go for.
The Jim Lee variant.
It was also, I believe it was. And it was always hit or miss because you could never tell. I think there was a Wolverine variant that came out. If you ordered 300 copies, you got this one variant. And we figured out how much it would probably sell for on eBay. And it would probably be just for the cost of the variant. And it's interesting because my partner, Pat, and I, we still like the variants. You know, we do get them from the comic store we buy them at. But we've been watching on eBay what's been happening. The 1 in 10, the 1 in 20 variants, $5, maybe less. Nobody's selling. There'd be a lot of people selling. Nobody's buying. It's all the action right now is in the 1 to 100 to 1 to 200 variant. You know, usually the sketch cover things, but they're just, there's way too many of them. People don't care that the market's glut.
Well, Pamela's being a little weird tonight.
Yeah, you keep cutting in and out, so I'm just going to have a cookie on standby in case Pamela goes down again.
So, we were talking about the charity table, we were talking about variants.
Oh, yeah, Nick from The Source, he's very generous. He's going to be giving us, literally, last time he gave us a whole long box of variants. We just $5 a piece, you know, and we're talking current ones and some of the hotter ones. So, plus, we had some of the rare variants up on the wall. The thing with the art booth, the way Corey and I run it, it's for charity. You tell us what it's worth. You see a variant there you want? We're not trying to guilt you into paying more because it's for variant or for charity.
But we will.
But, you know, we will. Yeah. You know, should we just, as long as we're talking, let's go right into the plugs and get
Well, hold on. I want to talk a little about variants because there's a reason okay. I brought them up. One of the things I remember back in the 90s, these variants would go for hundreds of dollars at times. And Butch, remember he had the black Venom variant?
Which was a misprint. It wasn't on purpose. That's why that one is one of the few that's actually held its value.
But it was worth hundreds of dollars.
I think it topped about 300, maybe four.
And I remember at the time you offering Butch to pay guide value for it.
That was McDonough.
Oh, McDonough did?
Yeah. He wanted to buy it from Butch.
And Butch said he wouldn't sell it. And when asked why, he said, well, because then I wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was the coolest answer ever for that.
Yeah.
He was a collector. He wanted it.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when it showed up, he was helping me set up, and we ordered heavy on Venom because people were really excited about it. Venom was a hot character. It drove Amazing Spider-Man 300 through the roof in terms of back issue price. And this was his first issue. Nice, shiny foil cover. And we're going through this, and all of a sudden, Butch finds this one that's totally misprinted. Where it's supposed to be shiny, it's totally black. And where it was the black, it was red. And it was a really cool effect. But it was a misprint. And I was like, I'm going to return it because it's a misprint. Which is like, oh, I'll buy it. He bought it for cover price. Who knew?
Now, the other thing about all those variant books, I remember they would go through the roof. And then like 2 years later, you'd find them everywhere. Now, it didn't mean that some dealers and people wouldn't keep the prices high in their back issues, like your old partner, Pat Gruber.
I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm eating, and I hate to bring up the word death. Sorry, I think I just vomited a little in my mouth. But the gold issues of that, $50, $100. I put together a whole set for $20 two cons ago, sold it on eBay for $50. Went back to the next con the following year, bought another set for less than $20, which I still have. The whole goal was once I make sure my stomach content is totally empty, I'm going to try to reread those issues.
The one I remember was the silver foil Wildcats. He had it $100 2 years ago. And I pulled it out, and I looked at it, and I said, Pat, do you honestly believe anyone is going to give you more than maybe a dollar? Oh, no, hot book. Someone pay $100 for it.
Well, you know, there is the old story. What is the color of the sky in your world?
I haven't been interested in variants, but every so often it's like, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind getting this variant. So what I do, I write it down. And I put it in my to-do list to show up in 2 years. 2 years later, I go to eBay, and I'm usually able to find them for less than cover price.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the toys that go absolutely insane. I remember I wanted the Rogue figure from the X-Men movie because I thought, oh, that was a cool character, and it was a really good sculpt, and it would look really cool on my desk. And you had it for like 30, 40 bucks, if I remember right.
Yeah,
hot toy.
I'm selling it for that,
hot
too.
Toy. 2 years later, I go on eBay, buy it for a buck.
Yeah, eBay's a great equalizer. I mean, I tell people, you know, how do you make money on eBay? Well, first of all, go on eBay. If you see people with 20 of them and they're pricing it less than you paid for it, probably nobody cares. But if you go on there and there's nobody there, then you might have the market open to sell. You might be able to sell it for some decent cash. I think the only variance I've seen that, other than people who slab their books, which is first of all, eBay and slabbing are two different subjects and different podcasts that we'll do in the future.
Yes.
But there are some retailer-only variants that tend to still stay up there in price. I think the rarest one has to be it was a gold issue of Superman's Wedding. And I've only known, I think only one retailer I know had one, and he sold it to a super Lois Lane fan.
Would that be one of the people involved in the convention?
Why, yes, it would. I've Mr. Wilson himself.
Brian Wilson, no relation.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Oh, and how is he related to Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys?
He is Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Wow.
Ever since Smile came out, he's really gone downhill.
I was going to say, he's really let himself go.
Yep. We used to tell the girls, we had a couple of teenage girls that worked at the shop, and they would look at Brian and go, "Are you the Beach Boy Brian Wilson?" And we tell him, don't ask him that question. He doesn't like that. Is it? Yeah. He just wants to live out a quiet life. You know, if you keep coming out, I'm just going to have to bake more cookies here. I'm running out.
Yeah, I think people are probably already getting sick of the hold music.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm not in Alaska.
Nope, we're just, Skype is acting very weird tonight, folks. I blame the fact that this weekend is the comic convention.
Yep, and I'm going to pimp it whether you want me to or not.
We're ready. Have at it.
The Midwest Comic Book Association invites you to
start going.
The Fall Con Comic Book Party, a one-day wonder, Saturday, October 16th, at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Oh, damn, I forgot the other. Fairgrounds. It's the Progress Center. Look it up. It's October 16th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Something for everyone, and everyone's welcome. Over 100 comic book creators, including one of our favorites, Adam Hughes. Super gigantic marketplace. They're going to have free MCBA grab bags. There's free parking. There'll be door prizes, a charity, a very snazzy charity booth, and tickets.
With some damn handsome men running it.
Yes, mighty fine. I mean, you're the best looking rat bastards on the planet. $7 per adult, 9 and under are free. Get $1 off with a food shelf donation. For more information, check out, oh, I don't know, how about MidwestComicBook.com, or you could go to the Minnesota State Fairgrounds website, or you could go to the official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page, which itself will bring you to, I believe, somewhere in solitairerose.com. Isn't that right?
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up about the Falcon, it was in the paper on Sunday.
Yeah.
And did you read the blurb they had in the Star Tribune?
Oh, I don't read that liberal rag.
The guests are going to be Jim Shooter and Sarah Douglas.
Somebody dug up basically our old press release for the Spring Con.
I'm wondering if maybe somebody sent the old press release.
That's possible.
And it's a two-day event, according to the Star Tribune.
Nope. Yep, listen to us. We got the right story. We told you about Wildstorm going away. We told you about comic prices dropping. We told you about how good peanut butter cookies are.
And we even got a call about Wildstorm.
I don't believe it.
Let me play that call for you right now.
Okay, let me go grab a cookie and let's hear it.
Hey guys, it's Paul, aka Nightcrawls from the forums again. I'm calling in for two reasons. First is I want to win some free Falcon passes. So my recommendation, as for naming the crickets, I choose Dark and Gritty because, of course, well, let's face it, all comics these days are dark and gritty. Am I right? And then if you give me free tickets, in addition to that, you know, maybe I'll go up and start some crap with Dan Jurgens or something. How cool would that be? Anyways, the other reason I wanted to call was, what the hell happened with Wildstorm? I mean, really? It's not enough that the company craps on them and ignores them for the last, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years since they bought them back in 1998? I mean, how DC's treated their imprint is just absolutely ridiculous. And then of all things, now we've got Geoff Johns coming out of the woodwork saying, yeah, I'd love to use these characters and I'm working on plans for them. Really? You couldn't work on them, I don't know, when they're a part of the imprint still? I think the idea of integrating most of these characters in the DCU would be absolutely dreadful. I mean, come on, look at their history of incorporating all these different characters and brands. It's never really worked. And then the whole Wildstorm thing is, well, the heroes kill people. What are they going to do, make them all villains? I don't need the authority to be villains. I vote just let the line die. Just let them be in peace. Well, we'll always have things like Sleeper and Planetary and Jim Lee's Wildcat, so we'll see what happens with ABC in the future, though. Anyways, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
You know what? Paul makes a couple of good points. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, because I think that Wildstorm...
Yeah, I think Dark and Gritty are terrible names. Oh, wait a minute. What? Are we thinking the same? Are we thinking something different?
Yes, we abuse our callers, but at least we play them.
Why not? It was like a whole 30, 40 seconds of the podcast we don't have to fill.
That's right. I think that I would like it if they got folded into the main DC universe, but there's a
We're talking about Wildstorm now.
Yeah.
Not the crickets. Although it would be cool if the crickets got folded into the DC universe.
Green Lanterns.
I'm not talking about in my actual comic books. I think that would leave a bloody smear that I probably wouldn't like that much.
And they wouldn't be mint anymore.
I opened up my Marvel comic. It was an Avenger, and there was a piece of the printing press in it. And it actually had a logo on it. And I thought, boy, that's kind of cool. And I might still have it. Because I know if I tried to remove it, it would, like, torn the pages. And it didn't have any ink in it, so... Of course, for all you know, somebody dropped like a ho-ho in it and some just... It looked collectible. They're giving out free ho-hos in Avenger Comics.
Yeah, they're probably better for you than eating an actual ho-ho.
Don't be dissing ho-hos. You can diss Twinkies all you want, but don't mess with ho-hos. You ding-dong.
Yes, the Crazy Comics and Stories. Believe it or not, folks.
Do I diss on you when you suck down one of those chemical pies?
Hey, I haven't told you about the greatest invention known to mankind. We'll get to that. We will get to that. But right now, this radio show has sponsors.
We didn't talk much about Wildstorm either.
We talked about Wildstorm last time.
Yeah, that's true.
Our first sponsor is Worldwide News, a web strip about the lowest rated cable news network in the cable universe, written by me, your charming and delightful old rat bastard, and drawn by disastrous Dan Moore.
Ooh, you probably don't want to sit in his lap either.
Believe it or not, kids, this web strip has made it to 100 episodes. And we'll also have a one-year anniversary, all in the same month. So there'll be special strips around that, along as well as me stumbling over my words and all sorts of shenanigans.
I like shenanigans.
We have a second sponsor, and that is DreamHost.com. The best known web host in the known universe.
DreamHost. No. DreamHost.com. No, we don't want to do that. Then we got to pay music rights.
Crickets are knocking on the door wanting to come back in. Taking a break.
It beats the gong, you know.
DreamHost.com, the best web host in the known universe. If you sign up using the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your brand new website. Now, the Crickets don't have a website yet.
No, they will be on the bottom of my shoe if they keep going off in my jokes.
Well, if your jokes were a little better, maybe they'd leave you alone.
Oh, fussy. Charles Nelson Reilly never got this much disrespect.
No, but Rodney Dangerfield did.
That's true.
Okay.
Hey, I heard somebody laughing in the background.
Yeah, that's right. We have a studio audience. Can I hear from the studio audience, ladies and gentlemen?
Woo! Oh, my God. In stereo, even. I was expecting just one.
No, we got a full house tonight. Maybe I should start selling tickets.
Well, I've seen your house. It's not hard to fill it. About one more person and you're at capacity.
Yeah, I know. The cat's already feeling a bit stressed.
Going to have the fire chief down there and say, everybody out.
Speaking of fires, there was a story in the news.
We're not done plugging yet. I need what's the phone number in case someone else wants to leave us a message?
Well, yeah, you caught me off guard.
Well, then I will mention the email address, which is crazycomics@gmail.com. Yes, a Gmail, where you can leave anonymous email messages to people you don't really like.
And we'll play them on the air.
Hey, what was with that second message we got? I listened to that three times. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it.
I'm going to have to listen to it again. We'll play that next time because I listened to it and I couldn't make heads or tails either. But if you want to leave a message.
Call back and talk slower.
If you want to leave a message, you can call us any time of the day or night at 952-856-0519. That's 952-856-0519. Don't worry about waking me up because I leave the ringer off.
Neat.
I don't answer your calls anyway. I don't like talking to people. Hey, speaking of fires.
Uh-oh.
Joe, did you hear about the fire department issue down in Virginia?
No. What about the fire issue in Virginia?
Well, they had instituted this new fee.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a joke. Never mind. Okay, fee.
Yep, they instituted a fee where you had to pay $75 a year for the fire department to help you out.
In addition to whatever property taxes they're extorting from you.
That's right. Because the city and the county councils both had signed the no new taxes pledge. Kind of like our governor here in Minnesota. So this man's house caught on fire, called the fire department. Fire department came out, asked if there was any people in the house. They went, no, everybody's out of the house, but our pets are still in. And the fire department checked. He had not paid the $75 fee, and they stayed there and watched it burn.
I hope they had marshmallows and hot dogs.
I hope I'm nowhere near anybody who tries to do that because I'm pig biting mad over that story.
Pig biting mad. And he's a vegetarian too.
That's right. Why does this have to do with comics? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with comics. Everybody complains that comic books have gotten dark and gritty, and the heroes aren't heroes anymore. And we just want to read about heroes. We're tired of all... Well, maybe the comic books are reflecting the real world, where the people who are supposed to be the heroes aren't being heroic. They'll show up, oh, you didn't pay your fee? We're going to watch your house burn down. If I was that guy, you would not be able to restrain me from continuously slapping them.
So what you're saying is I should go dust off those old black and white issues of Reagan's Raiders, and they're going to be going up in value pretty soon.
Have I told the story about Reagan's Raiders on the air here, Joe?
Negative.
Back in the 80s, when I was in college and the black and white boom was going on, there were all these ads in the Comic Buyer's Guide saying, would you like to write comics? If so, send us a sample script at blah, 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 blah. Well, I did that and found out it was for Solson Comics, which we'll discuss in a little more detail in the future if anybody cares. But they said, boy, we really like your script. We really think it's great. We have these other comics we'd like you to write. One was Iron Maidens, about four female bodybuilders who solve crimes.
Which naturally, you know, female bodybuilders are wont to do.
Yes. And the other one was Reagan's Raiders. For those of you who don't know what Reagan's Raiders was, it was
a
comic.
Ronald Reagan was.
Well, if you don't know who Ronald Reagan was, you're out of luck.
Bedtime for Bonzo. Google it.
No, no, no. There's a worse movie.
Uh-oh.
That Hagen Girl.
Really? I gotta write that down.
It's a movie in which Ronald Reagan's character moves to town and starts dating a younger woman. But the rumor in town is that it's really his daughter. And hijinks ensue.
You know, I listen to you come up with weird facts like that, and I just can't help but wonder why you're underemployed.
Because I don't think anybody's going to pay for facts like that. I don't think anybody cares.
Not with Wikipedia around, no. Maybe you should set up like a Strotopedia or something.
Strotopedia. There's a website no one's set up yet. You can get that at host.com.
And you can use our new host.
That's right. Get $20 off.
Oh, God. Then you'd have $40 in your pocket. Oh, Lord.
Well, let's remember that I am underemployed, so I pay myself with a check.
I noticed you haven't talked about cashing them, though.
That'd be stupid.
Very true.
Oh, what the hell were we talking about?
I don't know. We're way off.
Reagan's Raiders. That's
oh, yes.
They were
which is actually ironic because Reagan was known to really go off topic.
They were genetically engineered clones of Ronald Reagan and his cabinet who fought communist mercenaries in Central America.
True story.
And I wrote six scripts for that book, and I don't have copies of them, or I would bring them to the charity table and give them away. But I remember I got... You know, I wrote them up because, hey, oh, my God, they want to publish me. They want to publish me. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I'll be a comic writer. And I got it back, and he said, you know, we'd like a few different changes. And then I remember reading them like 4 years later going, this is the worst crap I've ever read anywhere, and I've read a lot of crap. And I threw them out. Here's a footnote. You know who was going to draw some of those issues?
Hmm.
A new comic artist at the time named Jim Lee.
I wonder whatever happened to him.
He went on to draw Samurai Santa, which you had in the shop. You ordered it. They said it was a regular comic, and when it showed up, it was a bunch of color Xerox pages stapled together.
And I probably sold it.
Yes, because it had Jim Lee. His
there
name
was
bigger than any image on the cover.
There was a time when I can recall I could sell two copies of almost anything they published.
Well, we ought to get to whatever the point is of this episode. Joe, what have you been reading lately?
Funny you should ask. I've actually been reading quite a bit. I've kind of slipped into some graphic novels. I picked up Claws from Marvel, Wolverine and the Black Cat. Joel Linsner did the art, and I think Jimmy Pomati and Justin Gray had something to do with it too. But I think it was a 3-issue miniseries that took forever to come out. It was fun. The thing with the graphic novel is it's pretty cheap, $12.99. It's about half, probably a little over half of the actual story, and the rest of it's all sketches from Linsner. So if you're a Joe Linsner fan, this is definitely one to pick up. Fun series. You can probably find it in your quarter boxes at your cons.
Which is where we'll be this weekend.
Yes. Help me with the pronunciation. I picked up at Barnes & Noble on their table. They had one of those deals where you buy two, get one free. I happen to have two books in hand, so I bought this one for free. The Complete Persepolis?
Yep, that's correct.
And I believe her name is Marjane Satrapi.
That I can't help you with.
This is the complete story. The graphic novel went on to become a major motion picture. It won the 2007 Cannes Film Festival Jury Prize. One of these books I've been meaning to read forever. I read one earlier. I'm going to have to look it up and I'll get back to it. But it had to do with a cartoonist, an animator, went over to North Korea to work. This one deals with it's a memoir of the creator. She grew up as a girl in revolutionary Iran. It's a unique glimpse into, you know, basically an unknown and unreachable way of life. I just found it fascinating because, you know, I grew up in when that whole hostage thing was happening. I was going from grade school to high school, so it's obviously something that affected me, and it's still affecting our geopolitical arena now, you know, especially between the way Iran is and the way the United States is and how they deal with each other. But this book was kind of interesting because it dealt with her in that society. And it's, you know, we always hear the worst of it. But what I came away with reading this is that they're, with the exception of maybe the guys running around enforcing the morality laws, most of the people are living lives like us. They work, they go to school, they want to party, they want to get things. So I, you know, like I said, I got this in a paperback form. I can't even see the price on it to give you an idea what it runs, but it's about $25 in paperback. They also have a very nice hardcover if you're into that, if you can find it and pick it up. It's definitely worth picking up. The other thing I did, kind of interesting, I've been picking up a lot of DVDs. I noticed finally one of my favorite series, Max Headroom, is out. I'm slowly wading through UFO. Talked about that. But I got three, and I watched one of them. The Life of Riley DVD came out. Nothing to do with comics, although he is a funny guy. Charles Nelson Riley.
Our patron saint.
Blessed be his soul. And it's a great DVD. I'll put a link up again on our site. You can buy it on Amazon or buy it directly from the site. I think if you buy it directly from the site, you get a better deal. And it just deals with, he did a 3-hour one-man play, and that's pretty much his final performances before he passed away. Or did he? You know, him, Elvis, Michael Jackson? No, later. We'll talk conspiracies later. But they made an 82-minute movie of his play, and it was real interesting. And then, of course, the DVD has a bunch of extras with it, and it comes with a film of the entire 3-hour play.
Oh, okay.
And I picked it up right away. Yeah, it's fantastic. And I may make Corey buy his own copy, but, of course, I did say I'd borrow it to you whenever you're ready. I did pick up a couple of the Superman Batman ones, the New Apocalypse one and the Public Enemies based on the graphic novels. I haven't watched it yet. But what I'm leading up to is I finally saw Kick-Ass, the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I've read the graphic novel. I bought the hardcover, one of the few I actually bought. It had been so long since I read the graphic novel that I really didn't remember much of it. And I watched Kick-Ass, the movie, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought it was a lot of fun. Then when I went back and I read Kick-Ass, the graphic novel, I kind of realized just how much darker it was. And the changes they made for the movie, I thought, actually made it better. 90% of the time when I watch something that's from a different source, you know, and I like to beat on the Harry Potter movies, I prefer the book over the movie. But in this case, I thought the changes they made in the, you know, adapting the graphic novel into the movie actually worked better.
Interrupted show ever. Are you sure you're not in Alaska?
You know, I'm going back because we had better luck in Alaska.
So you were talking about Kick-Ass, and you liked the changes from the movie to the graphic novel.
Yeah, because Mark Millar basically just... there's something not right with that boy when he writes comics. It makes him interesting. I mean, he really puts his characters through, you know, H-E double toothpicks, and then when they come back for the revenge, you're going, yeah! But, I, you know, other than the final ending scene, and this is spoiler alert, so fast forward 10 seconds.
And there's the spoiler alert siren.
Where they're flying through the air on their jetpack in the movie. I thought that was hokey. And the one line they didn't use that I really, really wish they would have. In the graphic novel, at the very end, after Hit Girl's basically whipped everybody's ass, Kick-Ass reaches out, touches her shoulder, and she just turns around. Would you give me a hug? My daddy just died. They didn't put that in the movie, and I really thought they should have.
See,
so that was pretty much what I've been doing. It's kind of a DVD mix and, like I said, a brief detour to reread Kick-Ass and also finally catch up in the movie. Oddly enough, I've not picked up Iron Man 2. I'm going to wait and pick it up next year when it's $5, just like the Hulk movies are.
Well, I will disagree.
Robert Downey Jr.
I will disagree with you just a little bit. I thought that the changes they made for the movie to make it more mainstream, I didn't like them because I liked the fact that they went against what you expected. And again, spoiler alerts. Okay, if you're still listening, sorry. I liked the fact that the girl that he had become the best friend with by saying that he was gay. I liked that when she found out he wasn't gay, she was creeped out. I liked the fact that we found out that Big Daddy wasn't, you know, kicked off the police force and out for revenge. That it was more, he was just a guy with a lot of money. I like that stuff.
Comic books.
Yeah, I like that. It was turning the genre on its head. But I agree with you. Mark Millar does not like his characters, and he treats them horribly. It's one of the reasons I couldn't read Ultimate Avengers.
Yeah. I don't know if Kick-Ass, as a straightforward to movie, would have worked as well, because I don't think you and I understand the comic book genre, and that's why we can appreciate it when like Kick-Ass comes out in a book. In a movie form, I don't think people would get it because their only things they've seen so far have been, you know, Spider-Man, X-Men, a really crappy Superman. You know, even Roger Ebert did not get Kick-Ass.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he never read the graphic novel.
Yeah, he said that the movie Kick-Ass was, you know, beyond the pale. And could you imagine if they would have went for what was in the comic? Oh. He would have just said, it's the most disgraceful, disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Easily been an NC-17.
Yes. Well, I really haven't had a lot of time to read.
Was it off box day?
There was no box day last week.
Oh, you finally watched Sharktopus.
I haven't had time to watch Sharktopus. I'm sorry.
What?
I did.
What's going on in that little trailer park of yours?
It's the Solitaire Rose compound. Thank you.
Yeah, and so is Jim Jones. Look how good it turned out for Waco, Texas. Remember, buddy, I'm with Homeland Security. I've seen your permanent file. That same one, the kindergartner. Oh, did you quit that bedwetting at 7? Oh, sorry, I've said too much.
You realize I can edit out anything you say.
Yeah, and you put the crickets wherever you want to. But
that's right.
You know, I know you sleep with them at night. But what's going on here? Why aren't you reading comics? We're like a week away from a con. You should be ready to go and geek with the best of them.
Okay, I've read some comics. I got caught up on the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, you went up on me. I haven't done that yet.
And, you know, I like the main series, and I like the fact that over in Adventure Comics, they're telling stories about the Legion past to kind of get new readers up to speed, let them know about the history of the book. I got caught up on Walking Dead, which is...
I'm still waiting for my omnibus to come on that.
The new story is really good because I don't know where they're going with it. There's so many horrible ways it could all fall apart that I'm loving it. But that's really all I've had time to read.
Well, I know you've been, you know, working two jobs.
Yes.
What else are you doing here?
Okay, so I've had some dates.
I mean, what, were they bad? I mean, did you just buy from a bad vendor on the corner or what?
No, dates with a woman.
I just blew a mental fuse. What did you just say?
I've been going on dates with a woman. We went antiquing.
Woman.
Yes, a real
what?
Woman. Not a blow-up doll, a real woman. And we went antiquing.
Oh, man, that is so wrong.
What's wrong about it?
I need to know something here.
Okay.
First of all, this woman. Okay. You're human, right?
Yes, human.
I mean, what's her bra size? I mean, lingerie. I mean, what's her shoe size? Does she take off her shoes? Is she a redhead? Does she like pie?
Yes, she likes pie.
French silk, or is she a fruit person?
Well, we haven't known each other that long yet to get into the details of which kind of pie she prefers. But she's real, she's human, and she wears shoes.
Do you have to share a fork, or do you just fork alone?
We share a fork when we eat pie.
Oh, that is so wrong. And wait a minute, did you say you went antiquing?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you said.
What's wrong with antiquing?
Well, first of all, the stores all smell vaguely of bad meat or good cheese.
I thought they all smelled like old people.
Ugh. Or old, like, Golden Age comics. So, okay, there's a comic tie-in. Okay, I can see the light.
Okay, I have to tell you about the comics we found.
Oh, Lord.
We went to Stillwater.
Round number one for $100.
Oh, worse. So we're going through and, you know, seeing cool stuff and seeing old stuff, and it's all painfully, horribly overpriced. And we get to a box of comics, and yes, I have told her that I collect comics.
And she didn't run screaming into the night?
Well, not yet.
Didn't chase you like the last time? No restraining order? And hang on, let me check something here. Okay, no, there's no Homeland Security alerts. Okay, continue.
So there's a box of comics. She goes, oh, look, comics. And I look, Joe, it was full of Marvel Ages and New Universe books for $10 each.
Oh. Story time.
Okay, story time.
Where we're in Minnesota, there's Stillwater, Minnesota, which is a great antiquing town. It's got a bunch of stuff from one end to the other, and you walk into the stores, and, you know, a lot of it's on consignment. My partner Pat and I thought, and this was actually a couple of years ago, that we'd try one of these booths. You know, you get, like, one of those glass cases, and we each shared a shelf, and we had three shelves each on our own, filled it with stuff comic book related. We figure, you know, we've seen what these Bobos are selling. Comic books through the roof, whatever.
Bobos.
I mean, it was just ridiculous, you know. I put in Matchbox cars. I priced them accordingly. I put in, Pat put in trading cards. I put in comic books that had, their example is Circus Boy, you know, which actually the cover of the four-color comic has a very young Mickey Dolenz because he starred in that series. Not a lot of people realize that.
Circus Boy?
Yep. So he actually was an actor before he hit the Monkees role.
Wait, Circus Boy?
Yep.
What the hell was that about?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I didn't even read the comic. I just bought it because he was on the cover. And you can tell it in his face. You know, you look at him and then you realize, oh, it's Mickey Dolenz who became a monkey later on.
Well, he looked like a sad clown.
Corey likes monkeys. I think he was hanging out under an elephant, but I don't know if that was, you know, it still was a code approved book, so I'm pretty sure that's as far as it went. But yeah, I put things like that in. I put in Star Wars. I put in things that people recognize. Pat and I figured we'd do this for about, I think we did it for about 6 months. We signed up right before the summer started, because that's always a big antiquing thing, and we stuck through Christmas. Barely, so I broke even. Pat did not sell squat. So it was just, it was so weird. I don't know if it was because we were pricing things the way they should be priced, or could have been the store we're in. I mean, it had good traffic, but it just went to show that, you know, comics outside of the comic market really just don't have an appeal. And I hear somebody selling Marvel Age at $10 a pop. You're like, where did you get that? Another friend of mine, Pat McDonough, his mom did flea markets. And that's like a cult activity itself. You know, if you're a new person in a flea market, everybody's suspicious of you because they figure you're going to undercut prices. And that was telling me, just bring your quarter boxes along and set up a table. My mom will make sure you're protected and no one will bug you, and you'll make a killing. And we never did get around to doing it, but it just made you wonder, you know, what are they thinking? Where are they getting these prices? And worse, are people buying this crap?
Oh,
probably.
And the new,
remember the QVC conversation?
Yes.
People are buying it. Oh, this is collectible. Christy had that. Weren't you telling me that? People would come over from the auction house right next to her?
Yes.
And bring comics over. I just bought these for $50. How much are they worth?
Nothing.
$5?
Well,
no.
Well, and these new universe books were all beat to hell.
Every book's beat to hell. My mom knows to find comics. She knows. I told her the basic rule, and you can tell this to your mom. If it says 10 to 12 cents on the cover, probably worth buying for a buck or less. But the better condition it is, the better deal. I think she's only ever scored one real fine. I think it was a Batman 30. It had a really weird rip in the corner, like somebody bit it. But it was a rip. It wasn't like a bite. And, you know, for a buck, she paid like $25 for 50 comics, and that comic alone was worth 30 at the time, now probably worth 100. You know, you don't find that often, but it happens. So remember, 10 cents, 12 cents condition. Those are three things you want to tell your mom when she's out antiquing.
You're never going to let me live down the antiquing, are you?
Not so much that you're antiquing, but you didn't even think to ask me. I wouldn't even have been a third wheel. I would have disappeared in the store and you never would have seen me again.
It pretty much sounds like my marriage. Good night, everybody. Let's hear from the studio audience. Thank you and good night.
I was waiting for the crickets to jump in.
I'm waiting for the music to start. There we go. So we'll be seeing y'all at the convention this weekend.
Unless you keep your eyes closed.
We didn't even talk about the new Banquet Pot Pies. That's our topic.